Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, a couple of interesting stories going on. I want to update you on this. We've been following this for the past few weeks because there's been an effort underway to force a vote on Dreamers. Remember I told you about this? They are trying to get a point of critical mass where there's enough people to force a vote to bring about legislation for Dreamers. Well, now we've learned this apparently has been stopped. An effort by moderate Republicans to force votes on a bipartisan immigration bill failed in the House, with members agreeing instead to vote on legislation that would guarantee funds for President Trump's proposed border wall. This agreement meant defeat, at least for now, for an effort led by Representative Jeff Denham of Turlock and other GOP moderates to use a rare parliamentary maneuver known as a discharge petition to force the House to vote on the bipartisan immigration plan and three other bills over the objections of party leaders. They are upset because nothing's been done about the Dreamer issue. Now, this greatly reduces the chances Congress will pass any form of Dreamer legislation before the midterms. Is this a surprise to anybody? The leadership does not want this. They really don't. They would be profoundly embarrassed, although they probably want it, to be honest with you. Let's go to Aaron in Greenville. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
All right, sir.
Good. I've been listening to you for a while, but I have to disagree with even some of your callers about the Mark Sanford election. And if you hear me out, maybe some of y'all will see it my way. We'll give it a shot anyway. I'm not so sure that the voters voted against him due to his infidelities. I think that's always something that he's going to have to carry. I think the nail in his coffin was he voted against the border wall, and I think that's what it came down to. I think that was a critical Trump campaign that he campaigned on, if you could pick one. And even though Sanford went along with him on about 80%, that was the key one that he didn't, and I think that's what cost him the election. And I don't think, you know, people did their homework with Katie. I agree with you on that, but I think that was the nail in the coffin for Sanford. I don't think it had anything to do with his infidelity.
Well, I think that's a dead issue for the people in that district. I mean, they've obviously voted for him. They put him there knowing full well what happened several years ago. It's nothing new at all. So, it's a pretty interesting perspective there, Aaron. Thanks a lot for your call. another developing story that we're going to be watching, too, this entire madness going on with the Justice Department. Andrew McCabe, remember him? Just what, a day from retirement? He was fired. He's now suing the Justice Department, the department's inspector general, and the FBI for materials related to his firing. He's filed a federal lawsuit under the Freedom of Information Act for access to a variety of documents, including the inspector general's manual and other policy documents used by the Justice Department to justify his termination. His lawyer said defendants have deprived the plaintiff of the opportunity he should have had to protect and to advance the legal rights and interests of Mr. McCabe. So we will see whether this goes anywhere. This stuff is just a mess, isn't it? It is a mess. I want to wrap up what I was sharing with you in the previous hour, my concern about conservatism. Eric Erickson has written a great piece today that I think he's been inside my mind. Here's what he wrote. The title of this, Where Do Those of Us Go Who Believe in Limited Government? This was written just a few hours ago in response to Mark Sanford's loss. Mark Sanford routinely broke with his party over spending issues, has been defeated in a primary for doing so. lost his reelection. I actually supported Samford when he ran for Congress after his scandal. He'd been very public about his failings, publicly apologized, and I was fine with offering both forgiveness and support for his campaign. He did not disappoint in Congress, routinely voting against the GOP on issues of limited government, liberty, and spending. After Donald Trump's election, Samford carried on as he had. He did not change. A critic of both George W. Bush's and Barack Obama's profligate spending, Samford also criticized Donald Trump's big spending policies and protectionism. Samford still voted with Trump 79% of the time. It wasn't enough. Samford's been thrown out of office by the voters of South Carolina. It's all the more remarkable because his district just 2 years ago rejected Donald Trump in the GOP primary. And his opponent just 2 years ago also opposed Donald Trump in the primary. Didn't know that, did you? But there's now a price to be paid for opposing President Trump, the GOP, and Samford has paid that price by standing on principle. His defeat was cheered on by Republicans who've been longtime Samford fans due to his principled stand against the GOP's constant feeding of the Leviathan. But they would not abide starving Trump's Leviathan. I'm not sure where conservatives go. Samford portrayed as a moderate. Moderate. Sanford's not a moderate, and I've seen several stories use that word. Just because he was vocal against the president, was actually one of the most conservative members of the House of Representatives, Sanford did not change. His party changed, and it changed in a way that is not conservative. If anything, the party has moved away from consistent principle to the politics of the here and now in a cult of personality. Increasingly, it seems there's no home anymore within the GOP for a principled stand against the Leviathan. And he's right. That's why I asked the question. And I'd be glad to hear your thoughts on this. Where does this go? What are we looking for? What is the point? Now, Mike Pompeo says the U.S. wants North Korea to make major nuclear disarmament steps, to take these steps by the end of Trump's first term. This is a new statement that's just out. And again, I mentioned this. This is going to be a long-term issue. We're going to have to wait and see how long it will be before we have verifiable evidence that they are actually dismantling their nuclear program. But Pompeo is saying the expectation is there will be some significant steps, major steps, by the end of Donald Trump's first term. That story just now coming in. We don't have time to be fair to another caller. So hang on the line if you are there, because we will get to you after the break. Coming up, we've got a couple of interesting things that we're going to delve into, including who won a primary out in Nevada. This Republican Party is looking more interesting by the day. 13 minutes after 11 o'clock. On the Vince Coakley radio program, on the text line, I think you're misreading Mark Sanford's election results. I think the rebellion is against the establishment Republican Party. Really? So it looks like we must have a lot of Mr. Magoos then who are voting, who can't figure out which is which. Another person saying you actually enjoy watching this 71-year-old man smack around these spoiled, spoon-fed, tender ass look at me crybabies. All righty. let's see. Vince, someone should tell Trump he who lives in a glass house shouldn't throw stones. Sanford had to mess up and didn't exploit Arrington's record. Yep, I think there's a campaign issue here too, and I'll bet you Mark would probably say that. 20 minutes after 11 o'clock, Vince Coakley radio program. I've got a couple of quick things to share with you. One of them, where did I see this? It was a message. One of them is a message from Congressman Thomas Massey, which I thought was kind of intriguing. Looking for a bright spot in the primary results last night. Well, check this out. I endorsed Lee Bright in South Carolina in a 13-way Republican congressional primary. He finished in first place by a commanding margin. But in 2 weeks, there will be a runoff. So it's a sprint to the finish between Lee and, I'm told, a candidate the swamp loves. please take a look at Lee Bright and help him if you can. That is from Congressman Thomas Massey. If you like Congressman Thomas Massey, this should probably carry a lot of weight. I'm kind of surprised. I didn't know he was actively involved in this. So I just thought I would pass it on to you. Also, another intriguing piece of information that has developed this morning. If I can switch pages here. President Donald Trump has been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for his work in reaching an agreement to work toward denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. This nomination by two members of Norway's Governing Progress Party. The deadline for this year's prize already passed in January, by the way, so it won't happen this year. This nomination would make him eligible for next year. It's unclear whether he was nominated for this year's prize, but he was also put forth as a candidate in 2016 and 2017. So anyway, thought you should know that. A nomination for Nobel Peace Prize for the president for his work in North Korea. This by two members of Norway's Governing Progress Party. Pretty intriguing stuff. Love to get your thoughts and on the other things that we have discussed throughout the course of the morning. Let's see, who do we go to next here? I think it's going to be Bo. Is that correct? Bo in Charlotte. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Vince. Just a couple of quick comments. You asked for some intellectual discussion. I'm not sure that I'm capable of that.
I have confidence in you, Bo.
Well, I would like to say this, and I hope you take no offense to this. But I think we're in a country today where we're educating our young people, our young voters, our teens and college children, that, you know, it's permissible to you know, treat our president, the highest office in this country. I have never referred to a president as anything other than President Obama, and I've tried to teach my children that. I've tried to share that. And now it's very commonplace, Trump this, Trump that. You know, so what I'm saying is I supported President Barack Obama. I did not vote for him, but I hoped that he would help our country succeed. When that played out, I had an option at the voting booth to select someone else. So I voted for President Donald Trump. Not perfectly happy with him. I'm not sure I would have been perfectly happy with him, but I do support him. We are one nation. Now we're a divided nation. It's either Democrats or Republicans. And their goal, and it seems to be our goal, and I'm including myself, is to trash them the moment they get in office and start preparing to elect somebody from our party. Well, I personally think that we need to put our country first, and we need, but I know it's not going to happen. That's the perfect world. But, you know, if you, when people that have been handed a folded flag, when they sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, they weren't worried about, you know, the conservatives, the liberals. They were concerned about defending this great country and what it has represented, regardless of our differences. But now it's almost like a sports talk show, and your show as well. Okay, let's see who we can trash today and analyze this and how we can do this and what we can do. No. It's time that's not that it's going to stop, but we've got to, as an adult, let it play out and go and vote. And if we don't vote, then don't voice an opinion and trash somebody. But I'm tired of Mark Sanford being trashed and President Donald Trump being trashed and others being trashed on social media, and you reading tweets and texts and different things that might go about. Hey, how about this? How about there are numerous countries in this world today, people that want to see us just destroyed, and we have to unite. And we have to teach our young people that this is not a sports show. It's not the Carolina Panthers playing the New Orleans Saints for the NFC South. This is our country. And a folded flag, if you've been handed one, you might know what we're talking about. go and serve 4 years and then come out and see, you know, if you're, you know, if you're, it's our country. We're united country, one country, but it doesn't seem that way anymore. And people take joy in making jokes about our president and other presidents, President Barack Obama. He's gone. He's passed. And so let's live in the moment and try to make it a stronger nation, united today, and maybe we can stop some of these investigations and back and forth and back and forth. The problem is, and I'll let you go, I appreciate the time you've allowed me to have, but the moment our politicians get elected, they begin on their next campaign to get reelected.
I know.
Let's do the job right now, and that's defending our country and everything. And by the way, government is not a bad thing. I hear people talk, well, that's government. Now, come on, analyze it and break it down. We do live under a governing, and, you know, if we like nice roads, if we like nice highways, if we like safe bridges, if we like ease of travel, we might have to pay higher gas taxes. I'm not an advocate.
Right. Unfortunately, we're up against a hard break here, but you've made some great points, and I absolutely do appreciate your call. The flip side of what you said is, I think the people who are in office bear a great deal of responsibility for what you just shared as well. We'll talk about that as we continue the broadcast. At 28 minutes after 11 o'clock, I mean, Bo made some really good points, and I'm with him. I'm absolutely with you, Bo, about what has to happen with our discourse. But here's the key thing, Bo. What is it we're going to unite around? See, this, I'm convinced this is a big part of our problem. It's not going to happen around a person or around a party. We've got to come to a consensus on a set of agreed upon values. That's got to be our starting place. If we make it about a person, then we've already gone off the rails. What do you think about that? That's what I want to build on. Principles and values. Let's do that together. And I'd love to do that here to the extent that we can. More of your calls as we continue the broadcast. Thirty-six minutes after 11 o'clock, the Vince Coakley radio program. Let's try to get to a couple of quick calls here. By the way, I promised this, and let's deliver this now. This one just cracked me up. Seriously, this is getting to the point. This is hilarious. Who won the Nevada primary? Republican candidate? The owner of some of the country's few remaining legal brothels. A step away from claiming a seat in Nevada's state legislature. He won the primary in a rural district outside Las Vegas. Dennis Hoff, the owner of the Moonlight Bunny Ranch and a handful of other legal brothels and the star of the HBO series Cat House, took 43% of the vote, beating out Assemblyman James Oscarson. Hoff mounted his second bid for public office after state officials proposed banning brothels from operating in two of the seven counties in which they're still legal. Ran against Oscarson in 2016 as a Libertarian candidate. Oscarson won that race with more than 60% of the vote. This time, how do you think he is running?
Independent.
Oh, no. Cast himself as the Trump of Pahrump, his hometown. He campaigned alongside Roger Stone, President Trump's longtime political advisor. Sent frequent screeds jammed with different fonts, sizes, and colors to reporters, calling the news updates the Huffington Post. Oh, my goodness. He's likely to win. Likely to win. Again, the guy who owns some of the country's few remaining legal brothels could be a next congressman out there. I'm serious, folks. This is getting funny. I'm really amused by this. Ron out of Taylor's, welcome.
Hey, Vince, you know, I just got a comment real quick here. The nation itself was founded upon a divisive form of government with checks and balances. And some of that contention that brought comes out of this tension that we constantly have not only prevents a man from becoming a ruler, but also was a big player in the liberation of the African slaves. So I think, you know, when we're dealing with these questions of running this one down or running that, yeah, and Jesus called Herod a sly fox. That was not an endearing term. But we do have to be careful, but we also have to remember we must expose the evil for what it is in order to prevent tyranny. And also, in the process, we need to pray a lot, because the only thing that's going to unify this country is going to be the power of God. And then we'll see the church. When the church flourishes in this country, that's when the country is exalted in righteousness. And that flourishing has to come by the Holy Spirit. That's all I got for today.
Ron, that's a wonderful contribution. What do you mean, that's all you've got? Great contribution to the broadcast. And I would, you know, I would dare suggest that do a whole lot of praying about this. That would be very helpful. Chet out of Weddington, good morning and welcome.
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. I just want to make a comment on something I heard the other day, or I read the other day, about Trump that I thought was very enlightening. You know, he's a pragmatic individual, and they called him a pragmatist. And from that, he doesn't look at a problem and say, oh, well, this is a Republican problem, and we need to come up with a Republican solution, or it's a Democrat solution. The Democrats want a Democrat solution, so whatever the Republicans do, they don't like it, and vice versa. He looks at a problem. He says, what's the solution? And I think it goes back to this thing with Kim Jong-un. If you don't mind giving me just a second here, I think what happened in this whole situation with Trump is Trump said to Xi in China, you got a problem, it's your problem, you fix it. If you don't fix it, I fix it. And I think Xi saw it when he bombed him with the 59, bombed Syria with the 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles. Xi said, you know, this guy's real. So Xi went to Un and said, listen, this is a guy ain't like everybody else, here, take you out. So Un went to Xi under cover of night, and they came up with an agreement. He says, you know, I'm going to back off. It wasn't a Democrat solution, wasn't a Republican solution. It was, look, I'm going to take care of this problem.
So you think the Chinese are helping to kind of coordinate this behind the scenes?
Oh, had to be. There's no way it wasn't, because he called out Xi early and said, this is your problem.
Yep, I remember that.
Or I fix it.
It's quite plausible what you've suggested there, Chet. I do appreciate your call. And, you know, there's been a desire for the Chinese to help in this for quite a while. No question about that. 41 minutes after 11 o'clock, let's head down I-85 to take a look at the day in history. Huh? Oh, my goodness. This is an interesting one. Yes, I just saw something that was quite amusing. June 13th, 2018, Lonzo is actually not with us today. I almost forgot about that. So we're going to have a little fun right here in the studio and see how well you guys do on this one. Four questions, and either one of you or both can chime in. 1920, the U.S. Postal Service makes a new rule. This may not be sent in the mail. This is bizarre. You'll never guess this in a million years. There's got to be a story behind this, and I will research it during the break. What could not be sent in the mail?
Corpse.
You know, you're on the right track, but cold.
Oh. What you got?
Cold cash. No. You know what the answer is? It's going to blow your mind. Children may not be sent in the mail. I've got to look this up and find out who in the world.
Somebody tried it.
They must have done it somewhere. And there's a history of this. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to share this after the break, because I this is beyond me. 1966. This Miranda versus Arizona, 1966. What did this require, this Supreme Court ruling?
You read a suspect their rights?
You are correct. Ooh. When they're taken into custody, you must do that. 1967, first African-American justice nominated to the Supreme Court. Who was it? First African-American Supreme Court. Come on, Charles. I know you've got to know this one. Who is it?
What year?
1967. You're going to know this, and you're going to say, oh, I knew that one. It was Thurgood Marshall. 1971, New York Times started publishing this. 1971. Anybody want to jump at this one?
Investors Daily.
No. That was a good try. But we've got to go to break. Stay with us. On the Vince Coakley radio program, we'll share the answer to this question coming up after the break. I know, the suspense is going to kill everybody. It's going to be awful. I'm going to share about this children in the mail thing. You know, there's a couple of people who actually got this on the text line. Children. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. I cannot believe this text about the brothel. Vince, our male politicians need somewhere to go to relieve tensions since the Me Too movement. DC moving to Nevada. Oh, my goodness. This is, and the next text, boy, I just wait till I share this one. Coming up. Willie, we're going to give Willie a chance to weigh in on this story about Nevada, this brothel owner who may end up being the next member of Congress. Go ahead and let it loose, Willie.
Well, God bless him for doing that, because at least one man is honest, honest and true to himself and anybody else, unlike everybody else, like Mike Sanford and all them fools. But anyway, look, I just called to wish you a happy rest of the year and rest of your life. If you're ever in Nevada, because I'm moving there, since our relationship has deteriorated because you don't give me the time of the day anymore, I guess you have no love for me. That's fine. I still love you and all you guys. I'm going to miss you very much.
You're moving to Nevada. Well, have a great time out there, Willie. You can still call and listen to the broadcast out there, by the way. Over on the text line, problem is the foundation. The founding principles of this country have been attacked and eroded over 50 years. John out of Spartanburg County. I agree on values. How do we know the true values of anyone running for election? You watch their lives. It's faithfulness over time is what you look for. This person commenting on this brothel owner who could become a member of Congress. He's used to managing whores, so he would do well in Congress. I told you folks, you can't make this up. This is hilarious. Vince, this pimp will fit right in Washington. This is just too much. Just too much. About sending children in the mail, can we send parents in the mail? Another person saying, I've been to the Moonlight Bunny Ranch. Oh, you have? Interesting. Another person say, I'm going on vacation. Mail your kids there. That way, they're there when you get there. You don't have to listen to, are we there yet? He's touching me the whole way. Oh, my goodness. This is just too funny. Since you caught me up to date on the brothel owner in Nevada having a successful run for Congress so far, what happened to the pedophile that was also running? I don't know. I am not sure. I've got to come back to this. Then I'm going to tell you about the children getting mailed. I mean, this just blows my mind that people actually did this. By the way, the answer to what the New York Times started publishing in 1971, it was the Pentagon Papers. I was sure Charles would get that one. But it's okay. I'm not saying you're old. I'm just saying you're just a little more seasoned to know than some of us here, okay? Does that work? I could not resist. Let's talk about this children thing quickly. This just blows my mind. This is a story by Smithsonian Magazine. They were able to start shipping large parcels through the mail. This was a big development. So when they started January 1st, 1913, they had all kinds of goods and services being shipped, but almost immediately, an unintended consequence, some parents tried to send their children through the mail. It got some headlines when it happened, probably because it was so cute. according to one historian. A few weeks after Parcel Post began, an Ohio couple named Jesse and Matilda Beagle mailed their 8-month-old son James to his grandmother, who lived a few miles away in Batavia. According to Lynch, baby James was just shy of the 11-pound weight limit for packages sent via Parcel Post, and his delivery cost his parents. How much do you think it cost to send him in the mail?
What year is that?
This was 1913.
$50.
15 cents. 15 cents. Now, interestingly enough, they did insure him for $50. This quirky story soon made newspapers, and for the next several years, similar stories started to surface as other parents followed suit. So this started happening from time to time, so ultimately, they had to ban this. Postage was cheaper than a train ticket. I cannot. This blows my mind. Blows my mind. Those of you leaving us, have a great day and God bless you. On the Vince Coakley radio program, did you ever imagine? Can you imagine mailing a child?
Not at all. I would be a nervous wreck. I couldn't do that.
I mean, how in the world do you ensure the child is going to be okay? I mean, this is just weird. Absolutely, positively weird. 1920. So it was a little less than 100 years ago. Children may no longer be sent through the mail. That really takes the cake. Any case, folks, can I just encourage you, be on the lookout for people you can just show some kindness to today. Just be nice to. Do something different, extraordinary. Go out of your way just a little bit. Have a good one. God bless you. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.